Welcome to Real Estate I Love It podcast. I'm Shelley Hoffman, real estate expert and community advisor. Join me and various guests who are expert in what they do, such as home inspectors, mortgage brokers, investors, wholesalers. There are so many aspects to our industry that most people are not aware of, and I'm here to help you learn about them. I'm an educator by trade, and this podcast is to educate you in the world of real estate. Hey, everybody, it's Shelley Hoffman, and I have Rob Just, Dave Ferguson, Christy Brightman, Steve Ladd, and Jason Miller. And we have been talking for quite a few weeks in a program called Clubhouse. If those of you have been on Clubhouse, you can certainly join us there on other Mondays. But we decided to bring it here to Facebook Live because I think our discussions are pretty good and there's a lot of information that's given. So we're going to go back to basics a little bit today with everybody. The market's crazy. People are calling us and saying, you know, is now the time to buy a house? Should I be buying a house? What do I need to do? So today I'm going to turn it over to start with Jason, because Jason's in the lending part of our industry. And a lot of times, Jason, when people call me or they call Christy or Steve, we say, you need to talk to a lender. You need to get your game plan going. So Jay, can you tell us a little bit what happens when people call you and say they're looking to buy their first home or just want to get back into that housing market?
Sure thing. Yeah, thanks for inviting me on. I think the biggest thing is, in today's world, there's a lot of technology out there, so it's easy for buyers to gravitate towards something online. And, you know, the Zillows and the Realtor.coms and the, you know, push button get mortgage. And, you know, those are nice and convenient and quick, but they can have some inaccuracies, you know. So as far as, you know, I've had someone click a button and say, hey, this is saying my payment is this, and they're making decisions off of that where it's not accounting for certain things based on their profile. Maybe that's assuming they have a, you know, 700 credit score and they have a 640 or whatever. So I think, you know, talking to someone directly, either over the phone, you know, Zoom call, in person, and really have an understanding of all of the options that are available to them is huge in today's world. And it's pre-planning. So basically, as you go out there and start shopping and looking in such a competitive market right now, they really have a good handle on the process, because what we do is we take a little bit different approach where we make sure that I have, you know, folks grab a piece of paper and a pen and take notes. And I try to keep it simple and say, okay, we're going to strategize. We're going to go into what options are available based on your situation. Let's say you have a certain amount of money to work with for buying a house. You have a certain budget for a house payment that you want to keep every month. And then you want to learn and understand what options are out there based on, you know, those few things. And then we get into what do you qualify for and talk about that and strategize. And I even go, you know, into other things, you know, and talk to people about, you know, sometimes people have a lot of money taken out of their paychecks, and at the end of the year they get a big chunk back for a refund. And when they strategize about buying a house and house payment and things like that, you know, there's cases where I'm like, you could change your tax withholdings and put an extra $200 or $300 in your take home pay every month, and instead of you saying, well, geez, you know, I want to stay in this $1,000 a month payment range. If you find the house of your dreams, or you get into a situation where it's a competitive multiple offer, you may feel a little bit more comfortable paying a touch more, because, you know, there's ways to you know, basically switch things up with your budget, you know. So I tend to, you know, go a lot more in depth, you know, where are you getting the money from? Do you have a 401k? Do you have, you know, a situation where somebody had a vacation club account where instead of using all their money for down payment, we paid that off, and you know, just strategizing a lot more than what I tend to find out there is that a lot of folks will, you know, either online or even over the phone or in person, talk to someone, and they just kind of tend to get a vanilla, hey, yep, congratulations, you're approved, and a lot of times they don't understand if they have additional options, or they don't understand the components of how the math works when you purchase a home and why those things are out there. And again, I just make them write it down. Okay, here's a conventional loan. Here's the minimum down payment. Here's the second thing, closing costs. Here's what they are and why they are what they are. The third thing, taxes and the home insurance. Here's what they are and here's why they are and here's how they work here. And then add them all up. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Here's an FHA loan. Here's a VA loan if you're a veteran. Here's a USDA loan if you buy a home in a rural area. And I really just make them write them down. I say, here's the pros. Here's the good things about these types of loans. And here's the cons, you know, because, you know, each one has a pro and a con. And I feel that when somebody goes through that process, they have a pretty darn good idea of how each one of those works and makes them feel comfortable about the process. I know me, if I'm buying anything, I'm going to go, you know, do a review, or I want to talk to somebody who knows a little bit more. I'm going to educate myself and I want to feel good about that purchase so that I don't regret or have second guess myself. Like, did I do the right thing? That's the worst thing you could ever have, is, you know, buyer's remorse, if you will.
Well, you know what, Jason, so, and you cover all that stuff, and that's one of the reasons I love talking with you, is because that education piece. But with the conventional, the FHA, VA, obviously VA, you have to be a veteran, but not everybody qualifies for every type of loan, correct? Like, you have to go through that. Can you just give a brief overview, especially for a first time home buyer, because, you know, I'm getting pre-approvals at our FHA, and I think most of us can attest, you know, Christy even said the FHA loans are hard to get accepted right now in the seller's market. So if somebody's pre-approved for an FHA, is there a reason, if I find a home that they love and it needs to be conventional, that we can't switch? Is there something different? Could they have a conversation with Rob or somebody who's financial planner to help them get qualified for a conventional? Like, what are the requirement differences?
I'll get into that real quick. We'll backtrack to, yes, you're right. Sometimes people don't qualify for certain types of loans based on, you know, circumstances. Maybe some are income-based, maybe some you have to be a veteran or whatever, but I still feel that they should at least understand what those are, because as you start to go out there and get out into the real estate community and real estate shopping, you're going to see all kinds of things. You're going to see little things that pop up, or like this type of loan or that. And then you're going to be like, well, oh, I need to learn about that. I don't know about that. And you're like, am I missing out? Are there other options? Well, at least if you educate someone, even on things they don't qualify, at least they know, okay, this is why that is and how it works. And so, you know, that's why I think it's important to even review some of the products that they don't qualify for. Again, it depends on situation. So like FHA loans are a little bit more lenient with some of their credit standards and qualifying standards. Conventional loans are a little stricter, but they're, you know, looked upon more favorable in the real estate market. So there's ways where if someone doesn't qualify for, say, a conventional loan right now, there's steps that we can look at to get them qualified. You know, we run credit simulators and say, hey, can you do some things to boost your credit score up? You know, if you need a little bit more money, do you have additional funds? You know, do you have an IRA, or do you have a 401k? You know, things that you may be able to tap into, and, you know, things like that. You can get gifts. There are a few grants and things out there that we will, you know, discuss and things like that. But we do get into that because, we do find that, like, I've probably two or three times this week, it's like there's somebody's approved for an FHA loan, and right now they are a little bit more difficult to get accepted when you're putting offers in. And I'm like, I'm sorry, we can't do anything right now, but we have a plan. And I've had a few people follow the plan, and then, you know, 30 days later, yeah, you are actually approved now for that different type of loan that will help you get your offer accepted.
No, that's perfect. You know, you'd mentioned about saving money, and Rob, this question's for you because of the stimulus money that's come into play. I don't know if, again, I'm the only one that's heard this, but we have a lot of buyers out there. You know, there was an offer in Syracuse that had 50 offers on it. Obviously, that means one person got the house, 49 other people are still searching. But this, but they said because of stimulus money, it's a large chunk of money. To Jay's point, you have to have money for closing costs and your down payment. So in taking those lump sums of money, are you finding people have called you to say, you know, is there a way to help me utilize that money to help my future, you know, like younger people that are getting that, you know, whether it was 600, 800, 1200, whatever amount of money they got. I never thought about that, but I'm like, there's so many buyers out there with these lump sums that are coming in. It's giving you that cash down that you need for the closing costs, right?
Yeah. Good point. And that's, you know, with the three stimulus that we've seen over the last, you know, 12, 13 months, is a lot of people are sitting on higher than normal levels of cash. You know, the one positive with the pandemic was their national savings rate has gone way up drastically. So people have been getting their stimulus, and I mean, not what the government wants you to do with it. You know, the whole idea of it originally was let's give this the public some money so they put it back into the economy and spend it. Well, most people saved it. They just threw it in the bank for whatever reasons. So there's a lot of people that I know that are sitting on some, you know, larger than normal amounts of cash that are in the market to buy a house. So, you know, to Jason's point, you got to sit down and say, okay, what's better to do with it? Do we pay off some debt? Do we put it towards a down payment? Do we put it towards closing costs? So, yeah, to your point, Shelley, absolutely. A lot of people do have some cash. They are asking, what should I do with it?
Yeah, that's what I thought. And so the money for closing costs, Jason, can you explain that? Because, you know, people, again, they'll come to me and buy a house. They say, okay, the taxes, we need the money for the taxes. I need, you know, whether it's 5% down, but there's those other closing costs. And I know you give them an example of what they would be, but if somebody hasn't been through that process on the closing disclosure, what are some of the other costs that they need to have to pay for? You know, the home inspection, Dave's business, that's kind of an optional thing you choose to do, but there are things that are absolutely have to be paid for as part of the closing costs, correct?
Up front, you mean? Or as a whole, or both, I guess, yeah.
Yeah,
I
mean, both.
Really, up front, I tell people, when you write a contract on a home, you're gonna have to give your real estate agent a deposit. That's a good faith deposit, whether it's 500, 1,000, 5,000, that comes off of your down payment. And then up front, you have to pay for a home inspection if you choose to do one of those. And then we collect up front for an appraisal fee, which is, you know, $400 to $500 roughly. And then the only other thing before the closing typically that they will pay for is usually a week before the closing, they have to pay for their homeowner's insurance up front to have it effective for the day of closing. So those three things would come off the math. So again, if I send them an illustration, okay, there it is. Here's the illustration. Take out your pen and paper, subtract out the appraisal fee, subtract out the deposit, subtract out your home insurance, and here's what's left over and what you need at the closing.
So Steve, about what, and again, it depends on the size of the house, but if you're anticipating maybe your first home being approximately 150 to like 120 to 150,000, what is that insurance money that's needed typically right before closing?
Yeah, so I would think in that price range, assuming you don't have like a series of prior claims or anything else that would influence the premium, then you're probably looking somewhere between $600 to $800. Sometimes it's cheaper if it pairs up with an auto policy with the same carrier. Sometimes it doesn't matter and it's better just to go standalone. But I would say that's a good range, $600 to $800 in that price point. Barring anything else, that's usually right where somebody would come in typically. So factor that in for your full payment of premium prior to closing.
It's about that. And then Christy Brightman, you're also a fee that has to be paid with the closing table. And again, not that it's a standard attorney fee, but there is a approximate range in there, correct? If there's nothing unusual that's going on through the process, right?
Yeah, for the most part, all the real estate attorneys charge a flat fee. There is a rumor of one attorney in Cayuga County that charges a percentage of the purchase price, 1%. Wow. It's rumor. I haven't closed the deal to see his figures, but Either way, it's flat. So some range from as low as I think I've seen 450, which is, you know, all the attorneys will say is way too little for the amount of work that goes into one of these deals, especially now, since deals come in, sometimes they die because something happens. Who knows what? They don't get qualified. It doesn't appraise out and we can't figure out the money. All the way up to, I think the highest I've seen at a flat rate is probably 750. So there's a range. Some of the low ends are great and some of the high ends are great and everybody in between. And there's also some that are not so great. Mostly not even from, they're not a good attorney. They just don't do this. Right. And right now, to kind of Jason's point, is not the time to have folks that are not doing this regularly. So with Jason and the out of town lenders, sure, they can lend, right? They know all the mortgage rules and all the TRID and all that and all the RESPA guidance, but they're not here. So from my end, it becomes really difficult when I'm dealing with an out of town lender, one of those online mortgage banks, because there I've got one that's pinging me for a title. Like, where's title work on this? I'm like, well, you issued the commitment 2 days ago. Don't have it. Not going to happen for weeks. Because it doesn't tee here until you send me that commitment normally. So you're just going to have to wait. And I'm sure that they're talking to the borrower and the borrower's like, well, what's going on? Where's my title? I don't understand. So it just kind of complicates an already now especially complicated and stressful process. So that's another thing that kind of we see on our end that is difficult, especially now. But yeah, we're almost all flat feed. So
nice. So I am to kind of bring that together too, from our end, when we get the pre-approval and it is something online in this highly competitive market, it's not unusual for the listing agent to ask us who's the lender. Because to your point, Christy and Jay, if it's somebody who doesn't know New York rules and laws, and they have a higher percentage sometimes of falling apart, right? So if you have two very similar offers, and again, if you're working with somebody like Jason here, who's educating the buyer, who understands they can't go buy a car a month before closing, because that's going to kill their debt to income. And you can't co-sign for a car either, right, Jason? Like, you cannot add debt through that process. And if you're not having a conversation with somebody local, not that online people can't do that. But the last person on here that could possibly cause some money coming out of your pocket for a very good reason is Dave Ferguson, who's the home inspector. Dave, what does a typical home inspection run? Is it per square footage of the house? Is it kind of a flat thing? Do you guys do it differently? Can you hear me, Dave? I don't know. I'm not sure where Hello? Dave went. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Well, I know that Dave and there's another gentleman in the area, Matt, but the buyer pays it. So I've never actually seen what they spend the money on for the home inspection. But at the same time, that's an optional expense, like Jason mentioned. And it's definitely worth the money. But in our market, a lot of people are bypassing that home inspection. And we're a buyer beware state. So I'm not necessarily sure if you want to bypass a home inspection, especially if you have questions about that property. So, but I would say probably anywhere from 400 to 700, probably the same thing Christy was talking about and Steve. So, if you're thinking about entering the market, the real estate market, and you have, you know, questions, kind of said you need to start with a lender. You want to start with somebody like Jason. A local bank is always better. Somebody with that education piece of it that goes along with it, to know what you're doing. Jason, what kinds of things do you ask for? You know, just to prepare them, because sometimes people don't want to call you. They want to find the house first and then call you because they're afraid you're basically going to take their firstborn child for all the information. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I mean, I like to, it's just like, let's just say you called a doctor up and said, hey, you know, I'm not feeling good. I feel a little scratch here and this and that. And what is it? Well, they're going to have more of a challenging time. Than if you go in and let them do what they need to do. Look at everything, take your, you know, blood pressure, all the steps that they need to do to perform an analysis. It's the same thing when you're going through the mortgage process. You know, we want to make sure, and we want to have those items up front so that we know that there's nothing there that's going to trip you up. So we want to get your pay stubs typically for a month. We want to get your last 2 years of W-2 forms. We want to get your 2 months of bank statements. And we're going to be looking for things like on your pay stubs, do you have varying hours and things like that that could trip things up, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh yeah, I make this much an hour and, you know, I work this many hours. And certain programs, if you have varying hours, it affects the way that we can calculate your income. So I would like to know all that stuff up front instead of part way through. And they're like, oh, we didn't realize that, you know, you took a promotion and you got varying hours. Now we got to average all this out. And it's not a good thing. Bank statements, are there big deposits in there that are coming in that we have to source to show where those come from? Because in the banking world, we have to show any out of the ordinary deposits. You know, so I'd like to know those things because they have an impact on the process. And just matching everything up and making sure that, you know, when you're out there on the street looking for a place, that you know you're going to put an offer in and you're not going to run into issues down the road and be like, sorry, we didn't realize. I mean, I've had people come in and say, yeah, my lender said they can't help me anymore because I make less money than what I told them. But all I did was tell them how much I made an hour, and they made an assumption that I was working 40 hours a week, and they didn't even ask me. So things like that. That's why it's just important to provide the things to a professional and let them look at it and make sure that you've got a solid plan.
No, I agree. What if I go to the casino though, Jason, and I win like $7,000? Should I just put it under my mattress until the house closes, or can I deposit that?
Gambling winnings, using cryptocurrency, things like that. A lot of people are getting into cryptocurrency. That is not an acceptable source of down payment. You know, right now it's just not. So we've had a lot of issues where people are like, yeah, I'm going to cash in a bunch of Bitcoin and use that for my down payment. Weird things like deriving income or even down payment monies from the marijuana industry, since it's not federally legal. That stuff, you know, if you work for a company or you get money that you use for your down payment from that, it's not acceptable. So a lot of little things can trip you up. So that's why we want to look at everything up front. Where is it? How can we counsel you? Because there's ways that you can be like, okay, you can't do this, but if you get this money here and let it sit for a little bit while, then, you know, eventually we won't see it, know about it, and it'll just be sitting in that account. So it's just working together to optimize the situation, you know, the best way for them.
Yeah, we try to don't wait till the last minute to talk to the lender, right? Start getting the education, talk to you even 6 months in advance. So that way, like you said, if money needs to come in, you know, again, not that you should be doing anything you're not supposed to be doing to get money. But at the same time, if it is something that is gambling or you went to the casino and had, you know, a good luck at the blackjack table or something, it wouldn't be scrutinized. So, Dave, I don't know what happened. I kind of lost you for a minute, but what's the average price of a home inspection? Does it vary? Is it per the square footage or?
Great question. I'm sorry about that. I was trying to switch over and join the gang in full participation here, and I couldn't hear anybody. So I'm back. At any rate, home inspections do vary depending upon a number of variables, including area, square footage, age of the home, and various components that may or may not be involved in each particular case. But unfortunately, at this point in time, our process or our step in this process has been kind of stomped on and pushed aside because people are so desperate to get an offer accepted. They're waiving that part of the process. And unfortunately, I think there's going to be a big fallout of problems due to that in the future of some of these people. But it's created quite a slowdown for a lot of the guys in the industry for us, and people becoming creative in ways to try to fill the void or make up for the loss of an inspection by doing things that aren't necessarily ethical or in the best interests of both parties. So it's been quite interesting to watch this happen. It's the first time I've ever seen anything like it in the close to 19 years I've been doing this. So cost does depend upon that and who you hire. There's a lot of guys out there willing to do what I do for a lot cheaper than I'm willing to do it for. But you get what you pay for, and ultimately, you know, buyer beware. Do your shopping and make smart choices when it comes to the largest investment in your life, because you don't get a do-over when there's a $40,000 foundation problem or, you know, something that you weren't aware of because you wanted that house really bad. And unfortunately, to compete in this market, you're probably not going to get accepted if you have an FHA mortgage or you have a home inspection or you want $8,000 in concessions. It's difficult out there, but and on top of to be paying $30,000 to $50,000 more for the house than it's probably worth, it's I've never seen anything like it.
No, it's definitely an interesting time. And to your point, as far as bypassing that home inspection, the you know, we talked about sometimes people, you don't know what's wrong with the house until you get into it. And that's any home that you buy, even with the home inspection, because you can't see necessarily everything, but those big things like the roof, the basement, electric and stuff. So if it's, whether it's $400 to $700, sometimes that could be the best $400 to $700 that you spent in the process for that information. And the education of it. Because at one point, we're going to get Steve on the hook and talk a little bit about the insurance. And he'll come into play one of these weeks, right, Steve, about how when something's wrong with the house, how that insurance policy gets covered when it's something that was already there. But anybody want to throw out any other advice for a first-time homebuyer thinking about putting a call into Jason or another lender as far as information, just to start the process, to enter this crazy market that we're in? It's definitely like the twilight zone right now, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, people get intimidated and scared and they don't know. And the process itself isn't that bad. You know, you get on the phone, you come in, and, you know, I always say you don't know until you know. And you go through and take, you know, 15 minutes, a half hour, an hour, whatever it takes. And it's not that painful. In fact, it's the easy part. The easy part is putting the plan together. The hard part is taking it from saying I'm approved to now I want to buy a home. And that part of it is the more stressful, because you're getting into having to make financial decisions and commitments and things like that. So the pre-approval process is painless.
Yep. But it is one of the most important pieces, right?
So. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody again for your time here on Monday. We will be back in 2 Mondays with another kind of getting into the industry, learning about the housing market a little bit topic. So if you have questions for any of us, feel free to shoot us a message. I'm going to put some tags onto everybody so you can have a direct link to them. And I hope everybody has a happy Monday.
Thanks, everybody.
Have a great day, guys. Bye, guys. Bye. Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode of Real Estate I Love It. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review on whatever stream platform you're using for your podcast. See you next time.